Good morning, everyone. Let us read the Bible together. Today's reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. If you have the Bible, please open up to page 885 in the Brown Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 9 to verse 10. Let us read the Bible. But the Lord said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. ...2019 is about to end. Every year at this time, what I think is that there were many things that happened this year. I think it was a long year. Sometimes I think it was a short year. But in that time, lots of things happened. And at this time, when we're busy at the end of the year, we look back at the year before. That's the kind of time of year it is. If I look back on this year, if you look back on this year, what do you think about? This year I encountered a very interesting book. It's this book. It's called The Devil's Dictionary. The name is suspicious, but the content is not so strange. It's the same as any dictionary. There are words, and to each word, its meaning is written. And it's lined up in alphabetical order. But what's different from other dictionaries is that each word gets a new and different meaning. For example, marriage. In this dictionary, marriage is defined as the end of a dream and the beginning of reality. I guess those of you who laughed are agreeing, aren't you? Another is toilet. This is, to a man with a home, it's the room in which, little room in which he is most at peace. And so somewhat sardonic meanings are taken here. For loss, the word is defined, well, in the first place it wasn't yours. And the very bottom is defined as, you can't really be guaranteed that this is actually the bottom. This Devil's Dictionary, perhaps this is how the devil would think of the meaning of these words. And that's why it's called the Devil's Dictionary. The author is a writer named Toru Nakamura, and his author's preface, he says, for you readers who have taken this book into your hand, may you, each of you, have the feeling that, oh, you can think about it this way, or I myself might define the word that way. For each word, I hope it gives you an opportunity to think, and that would be fine by me. The fact is that for all of us, different words have rather different meanings. To each of us, every word has its own meaning in our own hearts. Don't you think so? Today's Bible reading is about the Apostle Paul. And he says he takes pride in his weakness. In Paul's dictionary, weakness is something to be proud of. In our dictionary, what is written about weakness, I wonder? So let's look at verse 9 again. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." To be proud of your weakness, to rejoice greatly in it. This is so different from the way we think about it, don't you think? Weakness is something to be, is not something to be put forward. Even for other people, and especially for ourselves, we don't want to look at it. Isn't that what you think about weakness? However, Paul forthrightly proclaims that I proclaim my weakness with joy. What kinds of weaknesses would Paul have had? What kind of person was Paul? Excuse me. In the New Testament, there's the Gospel of Matthew, and count that as one book. The Gospel of Mark, and we count that as another book. Paul has, out of the 27 books of the New Testament, written 13, maybe 14 according to some authorities. Paul wrote more than half of the New Testament by this account. Furthermore, he lived in an age with no automobiles or airplanes, yet he managed to visit many countries on missionary trips. In fact, 3 times. He taught about Jesus to many people. He made them his disciples. And even today, many Christians respect and honor this man, the Apostle Paul. It's precisely because he was such a person that Paul was able to take pride in his weakness. Were his weaknesses something that we could take pride in? Certainly not. he had many weaknesses. He had the weakness that comes of facing many trials, the weakness of facing his own strength, or his own sinfulness. And finally, he had the weakness that comes from the pain of the body. Let us look at the weakness that came from his various trials and troubles that he faced. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 27. This is page 884 in the Brown Bibles. 5 times I have received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times was I beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles. In danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. These are the troubles that Paul faced. Any one of them would be difficult to bear. Have you been hungry and thirsty? I have fasted many times. But the first time I fasted, I had to face my own weakness, and it was an unforgettable experience. I went to the fasting school, took a course in fasting, and was going to fast for 10 days. The first time for me, and I was not used to it. And on the 7th day, I reached the limits of my hunger. In this school, we were told to drink a lot of water. And so every day, I went to the kitchen many times and drank water. And it was similar to a normal household's kitchen. If I wanted to look for food, I could find it there and eat it easily. There was food placed on the table. Every time I went into the kitchen, my eyes would fall on them, but I would always avert my eyes. Yet, as I became more and more hungry through the fast, on that day, I was unable to take my eyes from the food. I thought, now, no one is here. If I ate one of them, nobody would know. I felt like someone was whispering that to me. It had been 7 days that I had fasted. Isn't it enough? Anything will do. I want to eat. And my head became full of those thoughts. I felt like I was used by something, and I reached out my hand. But I realized that someone was behind me. And I sort of gasped, ha! and came to myself. And I thought about myself of 5 seconds before. That was a very dangerous place. Why was I doing such a thing? Why was I thinking those things? And my head was full of these thoughts of myself. When a person encounters an extreme situation, they will do things and think things that they couldn't imagine most of the time. At that time, our weakness comes forth. Paul found himself in extremity of difficulty many times. Surely he knew weakness as much as anyone. There were those in those times who betrayed him. We too, in suffering that seems like it's going to crush us, face our own weakness. We face our own weakness and fragility. In the face of an unbelievable sadness, how weak we know ourselves to be. When Paul spoke of his pride in his weakness, his weakness was not some tepid, shallow thing. His weaknesses were born of unimaginable suffering. They were great and deep weaknesses. He also had to face the weaknesses that came with his own sinfulness. Paul was another human, and he too suffered from his sinfulness. If we look at Romans chapter 7, verse 22 to 24, this is about page 861 in the Brown Bibles. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Paul was suffering, worried by his own sinfulness. That's what he says here. What kinds of sin was he thinking about? He writes of this in Galatians, in chapter 5, verse 17 to 21. Page 889. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here, Paul says that those who do these things are not simply to be decried, but that they are experiencing their weakness. To believe in God, to rejoice in God, to try and perform God's will to the letter. We wish to do these things, but we're unable to and recognize our own sinfulness. This is the same as the figure of Paul that we see here. Paul's weakness and his pride in that weakness is like our own sin. His own sin, the weakness inside him. It's not because he knew those things. Karega, as he wrote those things, what kind of thing was he thinking? He looked at his own sin, and like all of us, suffered for that. He thought of himself as a wretched human being. He knew his own sin. He knew his own weakness. And again, he knew the weakness that comes from the pain of the body. Let us return to Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, just before the original reading. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. The pain of the body is something that everyone knows, I think. And that pain makes plain our weakness. Because our bodies and our souls are deeply connected, when either knows pain, the other realizes its weakness. When the body feels pain, the soul becomes weak. And in the pain of the spirit, the body receives those effects. 10 years ago, I had a bad infection in my stomach. And in the night, I was in such pain that I called the ambulance. And as I was being taken to the hospital in the ambulance, even though we got to the hospital, my stomach hurt so much that I cried out, "It hurts, it hurts, help me. What are the doctors doing?" I didn't worry what people thought of me. I didn't think about causing trouble for other patients. I didn't think anything about being embarrassed. I just wanted to be helped. I didn't care about anybody else. If this pain would go away, I didn't care what happened. All I wanted was for this pain to go away. Because of the pain of my body, my heart became very weak. In verse 7, Paul speaks of a great thorn in my flesh. We don't know exactly what it was, but we know that at the time he sent this letter to the Corinthians, he was still feeling the pain. He also called out to God so many times to relieve his pain. "Save me from this pain," he cried. In the midst of trouble and suffering, to know our weakness, to suffer knowing our sin, to ask for God to take away our pain. Paul knew this kind of weakness. That was the weakness he had. He was in no way different from any of us. Paul's weakness is the same weakness that we know today. And perhaps as we experience trials, we know our weakness all the more. And yet, Paul, who had the same weaknesses and knew them as well as any of us, says he is proud of his weakness. "My weakness is my pride," says Paul. How can he say that? He has experienced all these difficulties and pains. Why is it that he can take pride in his weaknesses? That's because he had sufficient grace. Let's look at verse 9 again. "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." These words, "it's sufficient," in the original language, it means uninterrupted, continuing uninterruptedly is part of the meaning. It comes on him in overflowing quantity. To Paul, in his weakness, this grace would be displayed in him perfectly. And for that reason, he rejoiced in his weakness. It's not the weakness itself that he takes pride in, that he rejoices in. His joy and pride is in the sufficient grace of Jesus that is displayed in his weakness. In these words, the idea of living in or residing in is there. And so Paul's joy is that Jesus was with him. So let's look at verse 10. Therefore, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. To the Apostle Paul, the times when he was weak, though he was powerless and fruitless, that's not how he felt. In his weakness, he knew the sufficient grace and could become strong. This was his testimony. In his weakness, Jesus would take that weakness and show himself in it. When we know weakness, it's at that time that we can become strong for Jesus. When we experience weakness, the Lord, who is with us, so strongly we can take it. When we have pain that causes us to stop our breath, when we are suffering under our own sin, at such times, to know that we are with Jesus and having his grace, we can feel our strength. Knowing this sufficient grace, can't we too take pride in our weakness? And 2019, as well, is now welcoming its end. What kind of things are you thinking about remembering as you tie up the year? As I look back on this year, my biggest event was going into the hospital, because I experienced an incomparable weakness at that time. I had high blood sugar and had to go into the hospital, and my heart sank. What kind of lifestyle had I conducted? How could I have a lifestyle disease at this age? In the rest of my life, how am I going to face this, deal with this sickness? I was worried and uncertain. And the most difficult was to know that I had to take leave from the church for a long time. I would cause worry and annoyance to so many people, and I was really sorry about that. Regret. Pitifulness. The meaninglessness. Uncertainty. inexcusable troubles I would cause. And as I was in the hospital that first night, I felt those things, and in that dark room, I faced my weakness and wept. As the time stretched out in my hospitalization, there were a number of books that I hadn't been able to read until that time, and so I started to read them. Bill Hybels, the pastor of Willow Creek Community Church, has a book called God Speaks to Us of Precious Things in Whispers. And there were these words there. As we go down a long, dark corridor with joy, God is with us. When we face a great challenge, a sharp uncertainty, a difficult sea, God says, I am not going to let you face the darkness alone. I am going to be near you. That's what he says to us. In the future, whatever darkness of spirit we may face, I don't know. I don't know about you either. It might be medical, it might be interpersonal, it might be financial. I know that it might be a short time and acute, it might be long and chronic. I know you will face dark nights. But I know that we can know this one thing. When the darkness comes to us, God is near us, He is seeking us, and He wants to shed light into our dark spirits through His Word. These words echoed in my heart. Weak as I was, no matter how weak I might be, no matter how wretched I might be, God is with me. And His sufficient grace is given to me. I remembered it at that time, reading those words. It's not that I, who was so weak, became strong. From the beginning and today, and surely in the future, I'm going to be just as weak as ever. But God, the Lord, is with that weak self. And in the Lord, I am strong. When do we meet Jesus Christ? When everything's going well, when trouble and pain, suffering is absent, when we are strong, is that when? Or is it when we are worried, troubled, suffering, in pain, and weak? Is that when He comes to us? To us, to say that the Lord is with us, this Emmanuel, the sufficient grace of Emmanuel, is with us. He gives us enough grace, In fact, it is overflowing. Our weakness remains just the same, doesn't it? In our lives, perhaps we are forgetting Jesus Christ. There are many things that happened in 2019. Though we were suffering, in pain, in trouble, I suppose we considered our weakness only during that time. But let us remember, let us recall that to us is given sufficient grace. And so, let us be proud of our weakness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, we praise your holy name. In this world, with so many things happening to us, we look only at our own weakness. In times of suffering, in times of worry, in times of pain, this weakness appears to us. And we think only of ourselves. Yet you, God, have loved us, gave us Jesus Christ, and poured out sufficient grace on us. This sufficient grace is even now being poured out on us. Somehow, when we are weak, help us to bring to mind that sufficient grace, that we may be strong in Christ. Please guide us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.